Hello, this is Pastor Alex with Faith Fellowship Church. Unfortunately, our sermon on August 24th was not recorded, and so I am glad to share with you the message and upload it to the website for those who follow and listen on our website. We apologize for the inconvenience. We're just thankful for the opportunity of technology to be able to revisit this and share it with you. This message is the second part of a four-part series called Jesus According To. Each of the four gospel writers have given us a facet of who Jesus is and what he came to do that we want to highlight. So to start, Matthew showed us that Jesus is the Messiah. Today we want to look at Jesus according to Mark, as Mark shows us that Jesus is the minister. So the title of this message is Mark, Jesus, the Minister. And I'd like to read to you a passage from Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this message and your word, and help us to follow you as we follow the footsteps of Jesus, your beloved Son. I pray for anyone listening that they would be encouraged to walk in his ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Oftentimes with movies, if there's a movie that is very popular, sometimes what the director will do is he will film more than what is shown in the cinema. So if you go to a movie theater and watch a movie, you're given the cinematic version. But later on, when they release the movie through streaming or DVD, they will give what's called an extended version. And the extended version is everything that was in the cinematic version, only additional scenes were added that were not shown in the theaters. And what we have with the Gospel of Mark is the cinematic version. That is to say that Mark is the gospel which is the shortest, most concise, and rapid-paced, whereas the other gospels extend what is revealed in Mark and shed some additional light into what Jesus taught and what he did. So this makes sense also because most scholars agree that Mark is the first gospel that had been circulating among the churches, and that the Lord led Matthew and Luke and eventually John to write their version and extend on what had been circulating. We don't know for certain who wrote Mark. There's nothing in the gospel itself that says so. Unlike John, we know John wrote it because of things that he says towards the end. But tradition strongly says that Mark, who was the follower of Peter, wrote down what Peter remembers from following Jesus. So Mark did not follow Jesus himself, but was a follower of Peter who did follow Jesus and wrote down what Peter said. Now there are themes that overlap between the Gospels. For example, Mark was writing particularly to Gentile believers, but Luke will cover the Gentile inclusion in more detail. Also, John covers in great detail the divinity of Jesus, but Mark is unashamed and pulls no punches when in verse 1 he says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So even though that there overlaps, there are some themes that are highlighted in each of the Gospels. We talked about Matthew highlights the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. The great theme we want to look at in Mark is that Jesus, this Messiah, is a minister. He's a minister. For he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, to minister. To minister and to serve are the same thing. What you're going to see is that Jesus had a goal and purpose in mind, and this was it. So, how does Mark reveal Jesus as a minister? Well, first, Mark shows us that Jesus was a steadfast minister. Jesus was a steadfast minister. If you go over to Mark chapter 1 in the beginning, you see something that comes up, and Mark uses a particular word very often. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 10, when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, it says, immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Now that word immediately, euthaos, it means directly, at once, or soon as, forthwith, immediately, shortly, or straightway. Mark uses this word a lot, and it gives the idea that Jesus is on the move. He is steadfast. He's got a goal and a purpose, a movement, a direction. If I can illustrate the feeling of this word, it's as if you come to a stoplight and the light is red, and there's a car in front of you, and that light turns green. And you want to immediately move, but that car does not move. And so you're waiting for the car to start moving, not sure if he sees that it's a green light. Now, I think it's interesting that in those moments, you know, the 7 seconds that are lost are so precious to us that we can get so frustrated and start wailing on the horn, but yet we waste 7 seconds in lounging at home or wandering in the shopping mall or what have you. And those moments don't seem as important to us, those seconds. But the 7 seconds at a green light without movement seem to be very precious. I think that's interesting. But nonetheless, that's the idea. Immediately, the light turns green, immediately there's movement. And Mark uses this word a lot. If I counted right, 55 out of the 80 times the word is used in the New Testament, Mark uses it. For example, chapter 1, verse 12, chapter 1, verse 18. Now, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Verse 20. Immediately he called them. Verse 21. Immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue. Verse 28. Immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Verse 31. Immediately the fever left her. Verse 41. Immediately the leprosy left him. Chapter 2, verse 2. Immediately many gathered. Verse 8. Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, they reasoned thus. Verse 12. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out. And on through the whole gospel, there's this word being used to describe that the ministry is on the move. God is going somewhere, God is doing something, and Jesus is steadfast. He has a mission. He's on the move. And our lives need to have that same movement to them. The seconds of our lives need to be used. There's no delay in Jesus's ministry work. You know, you and I have so much time that does not take long for me to look back and see how much time I wasted. But when you look at the Gospel of Mark, you see that every second is precious to Jesus in his mission to serve. There's this television show that Alicia and I will watch, used to watch when we, before we had our son. when we went on vacation and would stay in a hotel, and we don't have cable television at home, so we turn on TV and go to the Food Channel, and there'd be this show called Chopped that we really enjoyed watching. And in the show, you'd have several contestants, and you'd have a handful of judges who would judge the contestants' creations, and they would have to make an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert within a set period of time. The only caveat is that they were given specific ingredients they had to use, and oftentimes these ingredients would be bizarre and strange, and at first glance would not seem like they would go well together. For example, for the appetizer, you might have one ingredient being Twizzlers, and the next ingredient being bacon, and then, the third ingredient being, I don't know, ginger, and just random ingredients. And then they would see the ingredients and the clock would start, and immediately they would have to create something within that time frame. Now, watching that show, it reminds me, they made sure every second was used to the best of their ability to create something delicious out of the ingredients they've been given. And when I think of our lives, we should have the same mindset that every second God has given us, we want to use all the resources He has given to glorify Him as much as we can and to serve others, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Psalm 90, verse 10 and 12 says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Jesus knew that he came to serve, and so his seconds were geared toward that end. He is your master. You follow him. How are your seconds being used? Our clocks are ticking. Is there a steadfastness to our walk with the Lord? Mark shows us that Jesus is not just a steadfast minister, but secondly, Mark shows us that Jesus is a suffering minister. A suffering minister. Earlier, we read that verse, which is the key verse of the gospel. In verse 10, he says, in chapter 10, verse 45, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." So he is a suffering minister. He's giving his life. The path of suffering was one that had many of Jesus' footprints embedded in the dirt. Look at what Jesus says back in chapter 8, verse 31. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Most scholars date Mark to a time when Christians in Rome were suffering persecution. Nero was in power in the 60s, and Rome was the hub of his fury. In the early days of the church, pockets of persecution would break out, and Rome was often targeted. Jesus gave an example that the road of discipleship was a road filled with blood, sweat, tears, scars, and sacrifice. While the yoke of Jesus is easy and his burden light, brothers, sisters, the path that Jesus walked on was a path carrying a cross. And we're glad that Jesus had to carry his cross. We're very glad for that. But look what he says in chapter 8 and verse 34. "When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, Jesus has his cross, but he tells us that we will have our own cross too if we want to follow him. We need to be aware of this because in Western culture, we've often got a very strong emphasis on comfort. I was reading about this trendy phrase or word that's been circulating called a hygge. It's a word from I think Denmark that speaks of finding comfort. For example, the picture is having, you know, on a cold day, being in your house with cozy socks, a cup of tea, a book by the fireside, and wrapped up in a nice blanket. Finding your hygge. Now, I'm all for finding simplicity and comfort in life. But I think in our culture, there's a emphasis to avoid struggle and discomfort and to embrace this hygge at all costs. But we need to remember something, that a cross is a cross. And we can pat it as much as we want, but it's still a cross. We can put Mike Lindell's My Pillow cushioning on it, but it's still a cross. Which, by the way, I own one of his pillows, and I highly recommend them. But heaven forbid we should get a splinter on our shoulder from carrying our cross. You see, Jesus talks of self-denial. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Think of what Jesus denied to serve us. To not come to be served, but to serve. He denied the glories of heaven, the perfect fellowship with the Father, to come down and to take on human flesh and eventually take on sin so that we may have life. We need to remember that we may not be fed to lions, but we may need to deny some lazy boy time so we can meet the needs of our spouse or children or family or fellow believers. To be a suffering minister does not always mean being thrown in jail for your faith. Sometimes it means denying yourself comfort for the purpose of serving Christ by serving others. So not only is Jesus the suffering minister, not only is Jesus the steadfast minister, but Mark shows us finally that Jesus is a successful minister. And this is important. Jesus is a successful minister. Because by all appearances, it seems that Jesus failed in his mission. That is, from a human perspective. I'll explain that. According to Bart Ehrman went to seminary to learn about his faith, and instead he left his faith. He went to Princeton Theological Seminary, and I'm partially not surprised that he left his faith. But he became an atheist and dedicated his life to criticizing Christianity. And one of the things he points out is how in Mark there seems to be, notice this, seems to be a tone of failure. Let me read to you this quote by Bart Ehrman. He said, "Mark has a powerful portrayal of Jesus going to his death. Jesus has been betrayed by one of his followers. He's turned over to Pontius Pilate, and during his trial, Jesus doesn't say anything to Pontius Pilate, except where Pilate says, 'Are you the king of the Jews?' And Jesus says, 'You say so.' And that's all he says. He's taken out to be crucified, and he doesn't say anything. He goes to the place of crucifixion, silent the entire way. They nail him to the cross, and he's silent." Notice this. You get the idea of Jesus being in shock at what's happening to him. While he's on the cross, everybody mocks him. The Roman soldiers mock him. The people passing by mock him. Both of the people being crucified mock him. Mark's gospel at the end shows Jesus as betrayed and denied and deserted and handed over and condemned and mocked. Jesus on the cross finally cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he dies. Jesus goes to a painful, humiliating death, unsure of why it's happening to him in Mark's gospel. Now, many have followed Ehrman's teachings, and from a human perspective, he has a point. Delivering powerful messiahs, saviors who are showing up to deliver people don't usually get captured and killed. But the problem is, he must not have read the part in Mark where Jesus says, in Mark 8:31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Or in Mark chapter 9, verse 31, he must not have read, "For he taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day." Ehrman must not have read Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 34, which say, "Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside and began to tell them the things which would happen to him. Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. They will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." You see, the success of Jesus was found in his mission to die for our sins, to give his life a ransom for many, to not be served, but to serve. You see, the world has a very different idea of success than ours. To Bart Ehrman, Jesus' ministry looks like a failure. Jesus died and all his followers fled. But if you look at Christian history, you see that 50 days later, the movement grew to over 3,000. In a few decades, Jesus' followers were in Caesar's courts. In a few hundred years, Christianity became the empire religion. In a few thousand years, Christianity has taken the place of the most practiced faith in the world. Now, I'm not saying everybody who claims to be a Christian is born again, but nonetheless, what Bart Ehrman says is a failure, it has actually been a great success because it was the purpose of Jesus to die for our sins so that, like a mustard seed, the kingdom of God would grow. And this is encouraging. Don't ever let 1 ounce of your service or your ministering fall into the category of insignificant. The kingdom of God operates different than the kingdom of this world. Ripple effects are measured differently in eternity. Before I became a Christian, God brought various circumstances into my life that were used to bring me to faith. For example, I used to do Civil War reenactments, and I remember one day cleaning up after an event, a man dressed in a suit was walking throughout the camp, and he walked up to me and said, "Hey, beautiful day we're having," handed me a little booklet and kept on walking. And I didn't think of much about it, but I looked at the book and it was a little book of various scripture verses. And I threw it to the wayside, thinking not much of it. But I remember reading it when God was working in my life and there being something about it that was special. And that little act God used when I became a Christian and the surrounding circumstances, and eventually I gave that book to someone else. Jesus is a successful minister, and the more we walk with him, the more we will be successful too. But do not measure success according to the world's standards. God wants us to be ministers. He wants us to give our lives in the service of others. And a servant is not above his master. What is God calling you to minister in? Where is he calling you to minister? Is it your family? Is it your church? Is it your neighborhood? To follow Jesus, you need to be steadfast in your ministry, in your serving. You need to embrace that you may suffer, and that suffering may mean having to deny yourself. And you also can be encouraged that if you follow Jesus by taking up your cross, you will be successful. You may not see it immediately, but eventually God will bring all things into judgment and reward. So what is God calling you to? How can you follow in the footsteps of Jesus as you are a minister like he? I praise you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus was a steadfast minister, as revealed in Mark, and gives us the example of how we can take up our cross and follow him. And I pray, Lord, if someone listening has not given their life to Jesus, that they would realize that they are a sinner, that they would turn from their sin, that they would embrace the fact that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that they cannot earn salvation, but must receive it by faith as a gift. And I pray that they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the Gospel of Mark. May you use it in our lives for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.